Listeners are advised Judge Gloria in this episode is a voice actor and not a real judge. This is not a real court and none of those mentioned are on trial. The scope and purpose of this episode is to create a more immersive listening experience through the events retold from the newspaper archives.
AIDS brings a response from the government.
AIDS, the disease which claims lives.
Welcome to AIDS of Lost Voices with me, William Hampson, and my co-host, Judge Gloria.
Mr. Hampson, please approach the bench.
Is it relevant to the matter at hand?
Did the accused put forward
in
a
this
defense?
Series, we re-examine HIV and AIDS-related crimes from the newspaper archives of the 80s, 90s, and noughties.
Court rise!
Please be seated. Mr. Hampson, please step up to the podcast microphone. It is my understanding we are here today to hear various accounts from the newspaper archives relating to the HIV/AIDS pandemic.
That's right, my lord, because while I've been going through the newspaper archives of the 80s, 90s and noughties in regards to HIV and AIDS, it's not just one article, it's actually, to put it quite simply, a scandal. It was one of the biggest scandals to hit the London borough of Hackney, and it became known as the Mark Trotter Affair.
I see from the file before me a newspaper article that you intend to rely on in your presentation of this case today.
That's right, my lord. This is a very disturbing set of allegations that were exposed by the London newspaper, The Evening Standard. As on the 25th of July 1996, ran the headline, "Row over AIDS man's links with children in care." And the article states, "A storm erupted today over the AIDS-related death of a paedophile accused of abusing children in care. It was claimed that the man, Labour Party activist Mark Trotter, had access to hundreds of children being looked after by Hackney Council despite warnings that he was a danger to them. Trotter died a year ago of AIDS-related pneumonia, but the council was accused today of covering up his illness and failing to warn those who have been in contact with him. In the past 12 months, only 36 of the 415 former residents he had access to at Trowbridge House Children's Home have been contacted despite the fact they could be at risk from HIV. The council, which denies the allegations of a cover-up, was told last August Trotter faced imminent charges of sexually abusing five boys at a children's home in Liverpool where he had worked from 1980 to 1981. Merseyside Police advised the East London Council, which employed Trotter for 12 years, to check urgently on the welfare of all children he had access to. Trotter, 34, died 6 weeks before charges could be brought. He lived and worked at Trowbridge House until Hackney Council closed it in 1985 and ran a youth club on the adjoining estate. Later, he was a field social worker with problem families until his resignation on full medical benefits in December 1993. One former Trowbridge House resident has described being abused but was said to be, quote, mentally ill, end quote. None was warned of the possible HIV risk. Hackney's Assistant Director of Social Services, Dina Morley, admitted secrecy and, quote, severe delays, but denied opposition claims of a politically motivated cover-up. A former Hackney councillor, who now regrets dismissing abuse allegations which were levelled against Trotter in the 80s, Miss Morley made her third bid for selection as local Labour parliamentary candidate last year. She agreed the police evidence against Trotter was, quote, cast iron, end quote, but added, quote, there's a different spin when someone dies in such tragic circumstances, end quote. The department and the party were, quote, saddened, end quote, by Trotter's death and the inquiry needed sensitive handling. The Hackney Police Child Protection Team confirmed that the council invited them to investigate the possibility of a child sex ring last week. Ms. Morley claimed her hands were tied until then because Len Redley, the manager she charged with tracing children despite knowing he would retire last Christmas, was only able to submit his report in June. The deputy leader of Hackney's Liberal Democrats, Councillor Mark Williams, said, quote, to have done so little for a year is a complete betrayal of public trust, end quote. Tory councillor Christopher Sills said, quote, this is an appalling, irresponsible cover-up and we are calling for an inquiry, end quote. Ms. Morley questioned Trotter in 1986 after a girl alleged, quote, inappropriate touching during a social services trip. She says no action was taken because the allegation was anonymous. Hackney had been warned a year earlier by Liverpool Social Services that local police were investigating children's allegations against Trotter. Hackney redeployed him in the chief executive's office until Liverpool concluded it had insufficient evidence to prosecute. And given the Evening Standard is a London newspaper and Hackney is a London borough, they, quite rightly in my opinion, kept Londoners updated on this case, where on the following day, the 27th of July 1996, they added, in reference to Assistant Director Dina Morley, appears to have been more concerned that they might injure Trotter's posthumous reputation or be guilty of insensitivity towards an AIDS victim, that they were negligent in respect of their primary duty towards the children in their care. Which is more important, political correctness or the moral and physical well-being of the most vulnerable children? Anyhow, to give you an idea of why so many corruption and cover-up accusations were flying around, given how Labour were managing, or rather mismanaging, the London Borough of Hackney, the Evening Standard gave us a very brief rundown on the 1st of August 1996 under the headline, Labour Steps In to Clean Up Hackney. And the article states, the Labour Party was today preparing to impose a leader on scandal-ridden Hackney Council after crushing a civil war in the local Labour group that threatened the borough's stability. The council was leaderless today after Labour ruthlessly smashed both warring factions vying for control of corruption-tainted Hackney. 5 members of the council have been suspended and its leader and chief executive effectively barred from holding office for 22 months after Labour chiefs acted to clean up the council. Labour moved in after infighting saw Gus John, Director of Education, quit the council, accusing them of behaving like, quote, a bunch of gangsters, end quote, and failing to protect him against accusations of homophobia. Hackney also ignored warnings that paedophile Mark Trotter, who has since died of AIDS, was working with children in Hackney. The 5 councillors, Merrill S., Hackney's Mayor Linda Hibbard, Isaac Liebewolch, Philip Pearson, and David Phillip were suspended of accusations of anti-Semitism and claims that an unauthorised decision-making body had been forming policy in private. All 5 are stripped of office and barred from chairing committees or holding...
Mr. Hanson.
And, my lord, the article goes on and on and on, highlighting all the failures of the Labour-run Hackney Council at that time. But fear not, turn a few pages in the same newspaper, the Evening Standard, and a revelation to this story under the headline, AIDS Scandal, Death of Care Children, where the article states, a major AIDS scandal involving Hackney Council, where 4 young people in contact with an HIV-positive social worker have died, is revealed by the Evening Standard today. At least one of the 4 died of an AIDS-related illness, and today Hackney Council was trying to discover if he was infected by residential care worker Mark Trotter, who died of AIDS a year ago. Following our inquiries into an alleged cover-up at the council, police have been finally brought in to investigate the scandal. Although police warned Hackney it should take urgent steps to trace children in its care who had been in contact with Trotter, it has only now emerged that 4 have died. A Hackney spokeswoman said there was no evidence whether or not the boy who died of the AIDS-related illness had contracted it from Trotter, nor could she say what the other 3 had died of. She added, quote, we are confident that police will get to the heart of the matter, end quote. Police have only been involved by the council in the last 2 weeks since the story broke. Only 36 children out of 415 who had contact with Trotter in the last 10 years at Hackney have so far been traced. The young man who died of the age-related illness had spent time in care at the council's Trowbridge House. And the spokesman on behalf of the council in the article is writing what she's saying, because in 1996 it is unclear how they'd be able to determine if Mark Trotter had indeed passed HIV to the child or the young person, as no age is disclosed, by, say, identifying his DNA in the strain of HIV. They could identify the strain of HIV, but I don't believe DNA at that time could be found within the strain to connect it with the person that's passed it from one to another. And given the sensationalism around this story, the Sunday Mirror reported the same story on the 4th of August 1996. But the next day, on the 5th of August 1996, the Evening Standard, who initially broke this story, print a letter that they have received from the Assistant Chief Executive of Hackney Council, which reads, readers of last Thursday's Evening Standard may have been concerned about your article, AIDS Scandal Over Death of Children in Care. Hackney Council is also concerned that Mark Trotter, a former social worker who died subsequently of an age-related illness, might have sexually abused young people in his care. To date, there is no clear evidence that this is the case. Mark Trotter worked for Hackney from 1981 to 1993 when he retired on the grounds of ill health. We are trying to trace the 415 young people who came into contact with him while he worked at the Trowbridge House residential children's home from 1981 to 1986. Through our preliminary investigations, we managed to contact 58 of the people concerned. We would like the investigations to be further forward at this stage, but it has been extremely difficult to trace these young people, some of whom left our care more than 15 years ago. We have now handed the investigation over to the NSPCC, which has greater resources and expertise in these matters. Of those we have traced, four have died. Two were killed in accidents, one committed suicide, and one died from an age-related illness. There is no evidence to suggest that he contracted HIV while in our care or that he had been abused. We are deeply concerned about allegations that there has been a cover-up and have asked the police to investigate. More importantly, we would urge anyone with information about Mark Trotter to contact our independent helpline on, and it gave at the time a free phone number. And the letter to the newspaper has been signed off by the Assistant Chief Executive. The Evening Standard on the 4th of September 1996 dedicate a full page to developments on this story, where it reads, Mark Trotter, the Hackney social worker who died of AIDS when facing arrest for abusing children in care, could have been exposed on at least six previous occasions. It can now be revealed that during his 12 years at Hackney, the council ignored several warnings, including allegations of abuse from two children in its care, and complaints by the young lover with whom he shared a council flat. At least nine young people are now known to have alleged abuse by Trotter. Following the Evening Standard's revelations about social services secrecy and inaction, the council is now engaged in a desperate search for the 500 children with whom Trotter came into contact at Hackney to check their welfare. His former lover, Robert Barfram, who told the council about Trotter's violence, has himself since died of AIDS. He repeatedly complained to the council that Trotter beat him up and made threats against him when he refused to move out to make way for a new flatmate. In July 1992, Trotter illegally evicted him, making him homeless, despite the fact the men's flat on the Gascoigne estate was a joint tenancy. But the council refused to rehouse Barfram or investigate Trotter, who continued working with vulnerable children in the deprived East London borough. On the 11th of January 1994, Barfram died in Newham Hospital of age-related pneumonia, aged 26. Trotter's new friend, Andrew Mulvey, 29, died in April. The council's indifference to Barfram starkly contrasts with its indulgence of Trotter. Trotter had to give up work in December 1993 as the effects of AIDS overtook him and remained on sick pay until he died 19 months later, and was upgraded into one of the council's best properties on the account of his illness. Trotter had joined the council from Liverpool in November 1981, but despite the frequent warning signs, Hackney did not recognise his potential danger to children in its care. For 3 years, he and his gay lover shared flats in Hackney's children's homes. Hackney's ruling Labour group has been bitterly divided between those who want an independent inquiry and others who fear massive embarrassment for the party, but they have now agreed to set up an inquiry. Trotter was Labour's agent in one of the borough's wards for several years. Hackney has been rocked over the past few years by revelations about mass housing benefit fraud and illegal key sales involving council employees and an alleged cover-up. These were the six warning signs Trotter survived. Warning 1. He was first accused of sex abuse as long ago as 1984. That year, a boy at the Liverpool home, where he had worked from 1980 to 1981, disclosed serious assaults by Trotter and other men when he was aged 10. Local police and social services investigated, but the boy's evidence was uncorroborated and no prosecution resulted. Trotter had by then moved on to London and Hackney was notified. He was temporarily removed from supervising children care to other duties, but when the Liverpool inquiry failed to yield charges, he was reinstated. Warning 2. In the early 80s, a boy in Trotter's care at Hackney's Trowbridge House Children's Home alleged abuse by Trotter and two other men. He says he told social services, but no action was taken. A reputable counselling agency has told The Standard it was contacted by the young man, now 24, and they are assisting the council to establish what happened, warning free. In 1989, Hackney admits, another child alleged, quote, inappropriate touching, end quote, by Trotter during an outing. The council says it investigated but found no real evidence. Warning 4. During this period, staff at Cairnsnove Road Children's and Families Centre complained about Trotter. His flat upstairs was filthy and there was constant noise from numerous visitors. Hackney says it can find no record of such complaints. Warning 5. The council admits that in 1989, police raided Trotter's home searching for child pornography. They found none, so, again, Hackney accepted Trotter's defence that he was a victim of homophobia. Warning 6. In 1992, Robert Barfram told the council how he had been beaten and cheated. The truth finally emerged last July when the council's social services chief, Dina Morley, confirms Merseyside police provided, quote, cast iron evidence, end quote, that Trotter was a paedophile, but it was too late. He had died 2 weeks before. Trotter had been unmasked by an ongoing sex ring investigation based on children's homes in Liverpool, North Wales and Cheshire. Police from all three forces have been involved and three former Liverpool care workers have already received prison sentences of 15, 13 and 10 years. Merseyside Detective Superintendent Albert Kirby, who previously led the Jerry Bulger murder inquiry, said five young men made, quote, sound, corroborated allegations, end quote, about their abuse by Trotter between ages 10 to 11 while in care. The witnesses were traumatised but, quote, decent lads, end quote, and Superintendent Kirby believes Trotter would have certainly received a long sentence had he lived. He is also convinced he would have carried on abuse in Hackney, quote, paedophiles don't give up until they're caught. And, my lord, the article continues, the known allegations date back to the early 80s and none of the young people is believed infected. But of the handful of Hackney children so far traced who were formerly in Trotter's care, one died of AIDS last October, aged 20, another contracted HIV at 14, and a third young man killed himself last September, aged 16. The council says no connection between Trotter and these tragedies has been established. Like many councillors, leader Nick Tallentire claimed there was no hard evidence Trotter ever committed abuse in Hackney and challenged the Evening Standard to prove Trotter's death actually resulted from AIDS. Quote, neither you nor I have access to his medical records or death certificate, end quote. And interestingly, my lord, I have before me here the death certificate of Mark Trotter, who died at home on the 19th of July 1995, and where the cause of death is listed as 1A bronchopneumonia, which is very common and often seen in people with an AIDS diagnosis, and 1B viral encephalopathy, which I believe, looking it up, it's the inflammation of the brain, which is again is another side effect or symptom of an AIDS diagnosis. But it doesn't explicitly state HIV or AIDS, but there were many public authorities within these articles, the police, the council, that all mention and talk about Mark Trotter's AIDS diagnosis. They must have had confirmation of his diagnosis. And I imagine this is why the Evening Standard was so confident in its reporting that Trotter had died of AIDS-related pneumonia. As they went on to state in response to Nick Tallentire, the Evening Standard has now been shown medical and other documents which conclusively prove Trotter's death from AIDS-related pneumonia, for which he was treated at Bart's immunology department. Hackney's Assistant Chief Executive, Lorraine Langham, today confirmed that checks are now also being made on the welfare of those at the Cairnsnove Road Children's and Families Unit where Trotter lived in 1989. Wentworth Road Nursery, where Trotter was a Labour Party appointed governor between 1986 and 1984, was also recently contacted. By coincidence, his former lover, Bob Barfram, worked there for a term in 1992. There is no suggestion that Mr. Barfram knew anything of the older man's, Mark Trotter's, predilections. And, my lord, as this rumbles on and you can't get a word in edgeways, it's now becoming quite the scandal and there are loud calls for a public inquiry. Then, 2 days later, my lord, on the 6th of September 1996, the Evening Standard run the headline, Lib Dems reject terms of Hackney inquiry, where they state, Hackney's Liberal Democrats today rejected, as inadequate, Labour's proposals for an inquiry into Mark Trotter, the social worker who died last year of AIDS and is feared to have abused and infected children in care. Liberal Democrat leader Kevin Dawes called Labour's proposed terms of reference, quote, a disgraceful attempt to prevent the inquiry looking into the way senior management and the Labour leadership dealt with the Mark Trotter affair. An extraordinary meeting of the council on Wednesday will decide who should conduct the inquiry and what it should cover. The Liberal Democrats forced the meeting with a motion demanding an independent inquiry, which guarantees protection for social work whistleblowers. It also demands investigation of the role played by Hackney's social services chiefs, given that years of allegations against Trotter, a Labour activist, were ignored. The Liberals suspect a politically motivated cover-up. Mr. Dawes said, quote, the Labour leadership betrayed our trust by trying to limit the inquiry, end quote. He called on the 19 rebel Labour councillors who forced Labour to accept that an inquiry was needed, quote, to support our original motion, end quote. And my lord, I believe it was the first female Conservative Prime Minister that once said,
to those waiting with bated breath for that favourite media catchphrase, the U-turn, U-turn if you want to. The ladies, not for turning.
But on the 12th of September 1996, the Evening Standard run the headline, Hackney U-turn brings inquiry into abuse case exposed by the Standard. And the article states, a full, independent inquiry has been ordered into the Hackney AIDS child abuse scandal first exposed by the Evening Standard. Hackney Council, which has been rocked by claims of an alleged cover-up and has seen its ruling Labour Party tear itself apart over the issue, agreed in the early hours today to stage an inquiry into the Mark Trotter affair. The Evening Standard was praised for its investigation work, but one councillor said, quote, why did I, as a member of the council, have to find out about it by reading it in the press? End quote. And further down the article it states, the council finally agreed at 1:17 a.m. today that there should be no cover-up into why Mark Trotter continued to be allowed to work with children in the borough despite repeated allegations that he was a paedophile. A special meeting of the council to discuss the affair sparked angry debate with noisy heckling from the public gallery at Hackney Town Hall. 17 rebels in the ruling Labour group left the party in disgust this week amid claims of a cover-up. The rebels, who have formed a breakaway Hackney New Labour Party, said they had to quit so they could vote with the Liberal Democrats to ensure a, quote, truly independent, end quote, inquiry into all aspects of the Mark Trotter affair. The Labour Party yesterday informed the 17 rebels they had been expelled. There were shouts of, quote, climb down, end quote, by members of the New Labour group when the Labour old guard caved in and agreed to an inquiry which will look into 1. The allegations about the way the council has dealt with the investigation into Mark Trotter, 2. His recruitment and the way allegations about him were dealt with both during his employment and afterwards, and 3. Whether there was any delay and whether any councillors or officers acted improperly. Liberal Democrat Keith Stevenson, who proposed the motion for an independent inquiry, said, quote, in no decent authority could there have been a moment's hesitation in demanding an inquiry, but then in no other authority is there the same bitterness and personal enmity between parties and people in the same party. Labour's old guard denied any cover-up. Bill Leadbitter, a victim of abuse as a child, said, quote, I will have no truck at all with a cover-up of child abuse. The idea that there are people here who would cover up child abuse is thoroughly obnoxious. Then on the 18th of September 1996, the Guardian newspaper, across two pages, given an amazing insight, given Mark Trotter is dead, into Mark Trotter through those that worked with him and knew him well. Under the headline, Monster in Our Midst, they reported, there was a time when everybody loved Mark Trotter. His shock of blonde hair, blue eyes, gold earring and open face were disarming. His exuberance, sense of fun, warmth and charm won him many friends. They must have thought the distressed and disturbed boys and girls of Trowbridge House in Hackney, the secure children's home where Trotter lived and worked, were lucky indeed. But the golden boy is dead, of bronchial pneumonia and AIDS. 1 year on, he has been branded a paedophile and a massive effort is underway to trace all those children, 400 to 500 of them, who had been entrusted to Trotter in his 12 years as a Hackney social worker. It has taken many who knew Trotter a long time to believe that the cheery, caring social worker sexually abused five boys aged 10 and 11 at the time. Quote, "We had five very serious allegations of sexual abuse, gross indecency and buggery," says Detective Superintendent Albert Kirby. As a Labour Party activist and election agent for Wick Ward, Trotter in the 1980s stood shoulder to shoulder on the doorstep with council members and propped up the bar with them afterwards. He worked in Hackney's campaigns unit for 2 months in 1985, helping to fight rate capping. In 1986, he was on the shortlist to stand for a council seat himself. The same year, Tony Blair was turned down as too right-wing. What those who loved him are now having to face is the possibility that they did not know this man at all, that he may have been devious beyond their dreams of evil. His Hackney pedigree was perfect. Labour, a social worker, a NALGA officer representing young people, and he was openly gay. In the fearsomely politically correct climate of Hackney in the 80s, when questions about him surfaced, they were dismissed as homophobia. Even now, teachers and staff at Wentworth Nursery School, where Trotter was appointed by Hackney Labour Party to the Board of Governors in November 1989, are reluctant to believe the worst. They knew him well. He was twice chair, from 1987 to 1989, and from 1991 to 1994, when he was too ill to continue. Head teacher Caroline Maples met him when she was interviewed for her job in May 1990. He was on the panel. Quote, "It was only a professional relationship, but it was a warm and friendly relationship. I instantly liked him as a person. All my colleagues felt the same way, and when we realised he was ill, I felt very sad." End quote. When Trotter died in July last year, she wrote a small obituary for the Governor's annual report, regretting the loss of a very good friend and strong supporter of the school. Quote, "He helped to make it a better place for us all. He devoted a great part of his life to doing good to other people, but in an unassuming way. His gentle, caring, relaxed manner, sense of humour and approach to life touched everyone, and he will be sorely missed." End quote. She sent a copy of the obituary to Andrew Mulvey, Trotter's partner who is also now dead from AIDS. Mulvey sent it to Trotter's mother and stepfather in Liverpool. Quote, "I got a moving letter from them. They wrote saying how grateful they were and how good it was to read those words. Even when he was a lad at school, he used to bring friends home who hadn't got good homes themselves." End quote. She remembers him as a joker. Quote, "He had a zest for life. He would come in and talk about that quiz program, the Crystal Maze, and the questions you had to do to be selected. He was young and enthusiastic and having a laugh. He wasn't camp at all. You wouldn't know he was gay immediately on meeting him. He liked people, men and women equally. He had lots of women friends, including one he used to go on holiday with." End quote. It's not easy for her to deal with the news. She says she is, quote, "absorbing it in stages. Like all heads and teachers, I have done quite a lot of child protection training, and we all know that these things are very hard to believe. I'm going through what I have seen in other cases, where there is massive evidence and people who know the adult perpetrator still don't want to believe it." End quote. She points out that Trotter may not have sought the job of school governor. The party could never find enough members to stand, and he lived nearby. She is also very sure he was never alone with any of the 3- and 4-year-old pupils. He attended meetings in the evenings, and on the occasional daytime visit, he would have been escorted in and out. Trotter was born in 1961 on Liverpool's Central Farm Estate, which has now been gentrified with the new name of Stockbridge Village. Maple says she understood he had, quote, "a difficult childhood," end quote. Liverpool Social Services took him on at the age of 19 as an unqualified social worker with no experience. He had previously worked as a firefighter. He moved into the New Hayes Assessment Centre in February 1981, looking after children in care, some for their own protection from abusing families. He stayed for 22 months. Quote, "During that time, it was recognised he needed support in his work. He worked in a supervised group," end quote, says a Liverpool City Council officer. Sexual abuse was endemic in the institutions. Paedophiles sought out jobs in homes, knowing few people cared what happened to those children. But it took years for the abused children to find the courage and self-belief to talk about what had happened. In the meantime, Trotter had moved to London. In November 1981, with two references from Liverpool and the usual Home Office check that he had no convictions, he started work as a residential social worker in Hackney's Trowbridge House. Trowbridge House closed in February 1985 as part of Hackney's largely successful attempt to move children out of institutions and into foster homes. There are no children's homes left in the borough. Even before Trowbridge House closed its doors, Trotter had moved his then-partner, Bob Barfram, into his flat on the premises. Barfram was only 20, a student nursery nurse. Hackney College organised him a placement, coincidentally or not, at Wentworth Nursery School. Quote, "It wasn't until he started here that I found out he was a friend of Mark's. He worked here for 2 days a week for one term. He was a good nursery nurse student, but, like all students, he was never left unsupervised," end quote, says Maples. There is no suggestion that young, very camp Bob was a paedophile. Quote, "He was perhaps younger than his chronological age. He was unworldly and naive," says Maples. If anything, Bob was a victim. Trotter and Barfram stayed on in the empty Trowbridge house until January 1989, when they were given one of three flats above a family day centre in Caesnove Road, which had also been a children's home. All the day centre clients and staff went home at around 6 p.m. or so, leaving the building to the upstairs tenants. Staff rarely went up to the flats, but Trotter's phone was routed through the day centre switchboard, part of the building's legacy. One member of staff now says she voiced concerns at the time about some of the phone calls for Trotter, and there was something else. One day she had occasion to go looking for the man upstairs. She was surprised and concerned to see the floor of one of the flats covered with 5-foot mattresses. Trotter was there until May 1990, when he moved into a flat with Barfram in Granard House, on the Gascoigne estate. This was a council tenancy under Hackney's then flat share scheme, where two single men with sufficient points might get a hard to let property, a band 5. But Trotter's new home was no run down 8-floor flat, but a 2-bedroom masonette from band 3. Hackney's housing department is now investigating how he came to get the tenancy of one of its better properties. Something else was wrong. It was a joint tenancy, so Barfram should have signed the lease with Trotter. He did not. In July 1992, Trotter threw Barfram out. Because his name was not on the document, Barfram could not complain to the council that he had been illegally evicted. Little notice was taken of Barfram's plight, though he was interviewed by Hackney Council officers in August 1992, when he alleged that Trotter had beaten him up. He asked, as a homeless person, to be housed, but the Wick Ward office decided he was not a priority. There are those who wonder whether his time sleeping on the streets thereafter hastened his death of age-related pneumonia in January 1994. Trotter moved his new lover, Andrew Mulvey, into the masonette. They lived there until Trotter became ill. He retired on grounds of ill health in December 1993 and died in a council flat in Moresby Road in July 1995. Mulvey also died in April this year. Somebody, probably relatives, cleared out the flat before investigations into Trotter could get underway, but they had not touched the basement. There was not much, but there were some photographs. One of them showed Trotter with three small children on his lap. Then there was a postcard. On one side it showed a picture of a child. On the other side it read, quote, "Preparing for our rituals this year, Mark and Andrew," end quote. The independent inquiry that councillors of all political persuasions have now backed will look not only at Trotter's activities, but also at Hackney's response. Then, my lord, on the 10th of October 1996, the Evening Standard report that lawyer and former chief executive of Cambridgeshire County Council, Mr. John Barrett, who had also conducted other high-profile inquiries, was tasked with leading the inquiry into what was now dubbed the Mark Trotter Affair. And, my lord, within some of the articles, we hear that opposition councillors were worried that anybody working with or alongside Mark Trotter within social care may feel somewhat intimidated and or afraid to speak out against him given, shall we say, Trotter's connections. Because on the 14th of November 1996, BBC Two aired a documentary on Mark Trotter titled First Sight, The Mark Trotter Affair. Now, I haven't been able to get a hold or a copy of this documentary, but the independent newspaper on the 15th of November 1996 highlighted concerns within it the day after the documentary aired, where they state, "Staff at a London children's home were too scared to speak out over fears about paedophile caseworker Mark Trotter," it was claimed last night. Trotter, who died of AIDS 2 weeks before police arrived to arrest him on sexual abuse charges, was seen in young people's bedrooms at night and enticed youngsters with treats and alcohol, according to BBC Two's First Sight. An internal report by Hackney Borough Council showed that six former staff members at its Trowbridge House home admitted their concerns to the council's investigator. The report also disclosed that one former resident, who claimed to have been sexually abused by Trotter, was, quote, very aggrieved about the way the whole process was handled and that it was too late to do anything good about it. And further down the article it goes on to state, at least five allegations of inappropriate behaviour were made against him in that time, but none was substantiated during his lifetime. The internal inquiry was told by staff at Trowbridge House, now closed, that Trotter, quote, would often be found in the young person's bedrooms after bedtimes and while off duty, end quote. Another staff member said he, Trotter, would take children from the Trowbridge estate home and they heard, quote, cries coming from the individual's flat, apparently emanating from young people's distress, end quote. But it alleged staff were too afraid to speak out, fearing they would not be believed because Trotter's standing in the council's political community. The internal report was compiled after a 10-month inquiry, which the inspector said was hampered because, quote, the individual was a popular member of staff and involved in local politics, end quote. Then, the following year, on the 24th of July 1997, the NSPCC shared the outcome of its own inquiry into Mark Trotter. The Guardian, under the headline, AIDS Deaf Social Worker Was Abuser, and the article states, a social worker who later died of AIDS abused at least six children and teenagers in his care in Hackney, East London, an investigation by the NSPCC concluded yesterday. Then the following year, on the 7th of January 1998, Mr. John Barrett published his inquiry on the Mark Trotter affair, and the press broke their necks to report the damning report. The Evening Standard ran the story on their front page and included a two-page spread under the headline, Labour Regime Shamed in Child Abuse Report, where the article states, Hackney Council's, quote, vicious, poisonous, and personality-based, end quote, politics lie at the heart of its failure to suspend and properly investigate an HIV-positive social worker who was abusing children in care, a damning report reveals today. Political infighting has crippled the council, which is riddled with incompetence and mismanagement. Councillors engaged in petty politicking and pursuit of personal and often spiteful vendettas at the expense of delivering efficient services to one of the poorest and most needy boroughs in Britain. The Trotter scandal was first exposed by the Evening Standard. It led to Hackney setting up an independent inquiry led by Mr. John Barrett, a lawyer and former chief executive of Cambridgeshire County Council. His 150-page report paints a grim and alarming picture of life in Hackney. He says, quote, the blame for this situation must rest on all those who, over many years, have disabled and weakened Hackney's local political process, end quote. The report found no corruption or cover-up in the handling of the Trotter affair, although it understood why such suspicion existed given Hackney's politics. However, the report says that the council's decision not to suspend Trotter following abuse allegations was influenced by his position as a trade unionist. Mr. Barrett's report, which has taken 14 months to research, is a devastating indictment of the council's majority Labour group, which presided over the years of misrule, the report highlights. But no party emerges with any credit. There will, inevitably, be calls for Labour group leader John McCafferty to resign. The report says, those responsible for the overshadowing politics ought not to be able to walk away from the operational consequences, even if they played no part in the supervision of Mark Trotter. His report will also be an embarrassment to Labour leader Tony Blair. Although keen to rid Labour-controlled town halls of the, quote, loony left, end quote, his party gave its backing to the McCafferty faction during bitter infighting among Labour councillors. Labour Health Minister Paul Boateng, describing the report's findings as, quote, appalling, promised government action to ensure Hackney acted to implement the recommendations. Then, my lord, 2 weeks to the day of the John Barrett report being published, the Evening Standard on the 21st of January 1998 ran the headline, the officer told her friend, don't use Trotter as your babysitter, but the public was never warned. And the article states, a senior Hackney Council officer was so concerned about social worker Mark Trotter that she warned a friend not to use him as a babysitter. However, her department failed to stop Trotter from working with vulnerable children in the deprived borough. Dina Morley, Assistant Social Services Director, was able to warn her friend and fellow Labour activist as long ago as 1988 about her fears, yet Trotter continued his job until 1993, when his age-related illness forced him to give up. He died 2 years later as police were on the verge of arresting him over serious allegations of child sex abuse. Alarmingly, Hackney's politically correct, trade union-dominated employment practices made Ms. Morley and other officers impotent to protect the community at large. The independent Barrett report into the Trotter scandal found, quote, everything was in favour of the employee, end quote. The Barrett report confirmed that Trotter should have been suspended on at least two occasions in the 80s after complaints by Hackney children of sexual abuse. But officers decided he could not be removed from the childcare work because of, quote, prevailing personnel policies and practices of the council, end quote. Following the report's publication 2 weeks ago, rumours have circulated about the unnamed, quote, friend, end quote. At an emergency meeting of the council to discuss the report, Liberal Democrat leader Kevin Dawes said, quote, if the friend is a Labour councillor or ex-councillor, then they should identify themselves and explain to the council why they did not insist on Mark Trotter being removed from working with children. What justification can there be for them to protect their own children while, by implication, putting Hackney's children at risk? It is a disgrace. Today, the Evening Standard can reveal that the friend was Denise Robson, who was a Hackney Labour councillor from 1981 to 1986, and again from 1991 to 1994. Last year, she tried, unsuccessfully, to gain election as Labour MP for Maidenhead at the general election. She is married to Labour councillor Simon Matthews, who did not respond to Mr. Dawes' question at the emergency meeting. The woman who warned her, Dina Morley, was not only Assistant Social Services Director at Hackney, but had formerly been a Hackney London councillor and on three occasions had stood for selection as parliamentary candidate for Hackney South. She has since left Hackney Council. Mr. Barrett said that if Trotter had been suspended or redeployed, quote, as should have happened, the covert warning would not have been needed. Hackney people might well be wondering why they were not told of the risks Trotter posed, until they read of them in the Evening Standard, or why steps to remove Trotter were not taken. After all, both Ms. Robson and Ms. Morley were experienced in council matters. The Evening Standard asked the question on their behalf. Answers were not forthcoming. We spoke to Ms. Robson outside her home. She said, quote, I gather this matter has been raised at the emergency meeting. But until I know what was said, I have nothing to say. That was 4 days ago, and she has offered no further comment. Ms. Morley lives with Hackney Labour activist Mike Davis. As he explained that Ms. Morley was not at home, she arrived at her door and pushed past the Evening Standard reporter without comment. She has offered no comment since. And the Evening Standard in this story have quoted the John Barrett Report, section 4.62, and they've highlighted the relevant section that states, Ms. Morley spoke confidentially to a friend who had from time to time used Mark Trotter as a babysitter, giving nothing of the detail away, but warning that Mark Trotter might not be a suitable babysitter. If Mark Trotter had been suspended or redeployed, as should have happened, this covert warning would not have been needed. Then, my lord, Denise Robson submitted a complaint in regards to the Evening Standard article to the Press Complaints Commission. Now, I won't read the full complaint, but it's basically outlined by the commission as Ms. D. Robson complained that an article headlined, the council officer told her friend, don't use Trotter as a babysitter, but the public was never warned. And a leading article headlined, The Shame of Hackney, published in the Evening Standard on January 21st, 1998, contained inaccuracies in breach of Clause 1, in regards to accuracy, identified her in breach of Clause 3, privacy, and suggested that her child was a possible victim of sexual abuse in breach of Clause 7, children in sex cases, of the Code of Practice. And having considered the complaint, the Press Complaints Commission decided, the Commission noted that the newspaper had been closely involved in investigating matters relating to the subject of the Barrett Report for a period of years. Although the report had apparently not found any evidence of a cover-up, it was clearly the newspaper's view, robustly expressed in the leading article, that nonetheless responsibility should be apportioned. The commission noted that the Barrett report had mentioned the existence of an anonymous woman who had been warned not to use Mark Trotter as a babysitter, and therefore placed the circumstances of the complainant's involvement in the case, if not the complainant's name, into the public domain. The commission considered that there was a public interest in identifying the complainant as this woman, given her past responsibilities on the council and her close association with the political party which controlled the council at the time. The commission noted that the complainant had been given an opportunity to comment on the story, but that she had not wished to do so, and considered that the newspaper had fulfilled its obligations in putting the matter to her for a comment prior to publication. The commission did not therefore find that it was inaccurate for the leading article to have said that the complainant had not explained why the information regarding Mark Trotter was not shared. With regard to the complaint under Clause 7, the commission noted that the name, age and sex of the child had not been given, and neither had the article stated how many children the complainant had at the time that the warning was given. There had therefore been no breach of the code which states that the child must not be identified. Decision not upheld, complaint rejected. Oh, bizarre. While Miss Dobson was quite within her right to raise the complaint, and to a degree I can understand why, but it still leaves the question as to why she didn't question nor have serious concerns as to why she was being warned not to have Trotter care for her own children or child when his day job was to care for other children. And as you can imagine, the John Barrett report into the Mark Trotter affair rumbled on for days in the newspapers up and down the country. And with Labour, each story gets more bizarre, or it might be more fair to say, they keep digging a bigger hole for themselves. Like this next one, where the Evening Standard on the 4th of February 1998 ran the headline, MP's attack on the man who helped expose Hackney abuser. And the article states, Hackney Labour MP Brian Sedgemoor made a formal complaint against the Town Hall employee whose leaked memo helped the Evening Standard expose the scandal of paedophile social worker Mark Trotter. Instead of joining in the public condemnation of the way Hackney Council mismanaged the affair, Mr. Sedgemoor accused whistleblower Demetrius Panton of, quote, careless and maybe malicious actions, end quote. Trotter was an activist in Mr. Sedgemoor's constituency party. Mr. Panton, the whistleblower, was policy advisor to the chairman of social services and wrote in August 1996 to Hackney chief executive Tony Elliston, giving a highly critical account of the way the council had mishandled its investigation of Trotter. He wrote, quote, if at any stage it is proven that Mr. Trotter continued to sexually abuse children in the care of his authority, then we have failed terribly in protecting vulnerable children from abuse, end quote. His words were prophetic. An NSPCC inquiry subsequently discovered that Trotter had abused at least six Hackney children. The Evening Standard obtained a copy of the Panton memo as part of its investigation. When the Evening Standard approached Mr. Sedgemoor to comment on the affair, he put his solicitor onto us. The Evening Standard has now discovered that Mr. Sedgemoor wrote to Mr. Elliston, requesting his letter be treated as a, quote, formal complaint against Mr. Panton and against the council for allowing a libelous document to be leaked to the press, end quote. Mr. Sedgemoor was rebuffed by Mr. Elliston, who wrote back, quote, all staff who work for the council have a responsibility to report matters of concern, and it was perfectly proper for Mr. Demetrius Panton to write to me, end quote. Mr. Sedgemoor was anxious to ensure that the, quote, untrue rumour, end quote, that Trotter had worked in his constituency office was not repeated. But his letter does not give a complete picture. Trotter was actively involved in Mr. Sedgemoor's Hackney South and Shoreditch constituency Labour Party. He was, at various times, its education officer, a member of its Wick Ward Executive and General Management Committee, its agent and organiser for the MP's postal vote in the 1992 general election. Our picture, and my lord, the newspaper, the Evening Standard, in this article has included a very large photograph. When they refer to the picture, it is a photograph. Our picture shows the pair sharing the same platform during a protest against food surpluses in 1987. And in the photograph, my lord, they've put a circle around me. Mr. Sedgemoor and Mark Trotter, so that you can see them both clearly. I mean, it's a very clear picture. It's an up-close picture, so but they've put a ring around it, I assume, for extra clarity. Last month, the Evening Standard asked why Mr. Sedgemoor had consistently refused to comment on a serious matter which not only affected his constituents, but involved an officer and activist in his own constituency party. Again, his response was to put his lawyers onto us. The Evening Standard has been shown copies of letters Mr. Sedgemoor has sent to political opponents. He recently wrote that Hackney Liberal Democrats, quote, have the propensity to become the most dishonest and deplorable political party in Western Europe, end quote, and accused leader Kevin Dawes of, quote, stupidity, end quote. In a letter to leading local Tory councillor Joe Lobenstein, he accused him of entering, quote, into the sewers, end quote, over the Trotter affair, adding, quote, I suggest you pick yourself up out of the slime, end quote. In his regular column in the Hackney Gazette, he has made repeated attacks on Mr. Elliston and has used the parliamentary privilege of early days motions to criticise him and rebel Labour councillors who quit over the Trotter affair. After initially threatening to sue the Evening Standard over questions put to him by fax, Mr. Sedgemoor instructed his solicitors to respond. Pointing out that he had twice given written evidence to the Barrett inquiry, he confirmed that he had made a complaint against Mr. Panton for suggesting that Trotter had worked in his office. He also stated that the Barrett inquiry had found no evidence of cover-up by the Labour Party in the Trotter affair. Mr. Sedgemoor was, at all times, in favour of an independent inquiry, and in his evidence, he had raised the issue of the culture of Hackney politics. Oh, do you know, it's just bizarre, incredibly bizarre, to the point where I'm almost lost for words. And perhaps there is one more article, the Daily Telegraph, in January 1998, that wrote an article under the headline, An Abuse of Rights, that perhaps takes the words right out of my mouth, and I suppose out of the mouth of anybody listening, where they state, the case of Mark Trotter, the social worker who was suspected of abusing children in care in the Labour stronghold of Hackney, is a political sex scandal far more reprehensible and shocking than any run-of-the-mill Tory adultery case. This is a disgusting tale in every aspect. It highlights the nastiness and incompetence of traditional left-wing town hall politics, the insidiousness of trade unionism in local government, and the utter wrong-headedness of the politically correct ethos which dominates municipal social services. None of the councillors and officers criticised in Mr. Barrett's report is fit to be involved in public administration. Several of the officers have indeed already left their posts. Council leader John McCafferty and his group, who have enjoyed the support of the Labour leadership in past Hackney faction fighting, should resign immediately, and the government should condemn them in the plainest possible terms. And then only a few months after that article, in May 1998, when London held its local elections, the Evening Standard run the headline, Forced Out, Leader Who Refused to Quit Over Child Abuse Scandal, where they state, in a major upset, long-serving Mr. McCafferty was defeated by the Green Party, a damning indictment of his leadership. He polled only 406 votes in the North Defour ward, trailing behind Greens, Yen Chit Chong and Paul Thomas. The result was greeted with wild applause by rival parties and cries of, quote, bye-bye, end quote. Speaking after his defeat, Mr. McCafferty, a teacher, blamed it on a poor turnout by Labour voters in his ward and said he had no regrets over not resigning, quote, despite the judgment of the Evening Standard, end quote. And as for Mark Trotter, we heard earlier that he died of AIDS-related complications on the 19th of July 1995. He died at home in his flat on Moresby Road in Clapton, with his then-partner Andrew Mulvey being present. Mark Trotter, aged 34, was then cremated on the 26th of July 1995 at the Manor Park Crematorium, where his ashes were scattered in the Garden of Remembrance. And at the time of the inquiry, it was firmly stated that all the men who have the misfortune of being associated with Mark Trotter, although never under any suspicion at any time, were all cleared of never having undertaken the same appalling crimes as Mark Trotter. It was the view that his boyfriends or partners were very much the victims also. So much so, we hope to learn more about them in future episodes. And that, my lord, concludes this episode.
Mr. Hampson presented a series of poignant cases today, illustrating the complex interplay between victimhood and culpability. While it is crucial to acknowledge the moral and legal violations that have occurred, we must also consider the profound impact of an HIV or AIDS diagnosis. Such a condition, undeniably cruel in its nature, cannot serve as a justification for criminal actions. However, it undoubtedly shapes the narrative surrounding each individual. Each case serves as a stark reminder that beneath the offences, there existed a life, one that preceded the incidents we have just heard. And for many, these lives are now but memories, tragically cut short. In reflecting on these stories, we are compelled to recognize the humanity of those involved and the heavy burdens they carried, reinforcing the importance of empathy in our discussions of justice and morality. This podcast is adjourned until next week.
Court rise!
You can check out and read all the newspaper articles mentioned in this episode, along with extra snippets of information, on the Extra Tea blog. You can find the link in the show notes. If you've enjoyed this episode, then don't forget to like, share and subscribe. Until the next episode, you can find me on Instagram at The Lost Boys of Soho.